Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel and pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Are you guys ready? We're going to be efficient tonight. We're going to prove to Ari that it doesn't take 2 hours to record an hour-long podcast.
Woo!
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our deconstructed PB&J. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Scott.
And this
is
Time Pop. I need to start off on a little tangent.
Ooh, I like tangents.
Thank you to all of our new listeners. Our case 63 was a first case scenario for a lot of listeners out there. And thank you for tuning in. And thank you for continuing to listen. Not just case 63 is getting a lot of listens. A lot of episodes around it are getting a lot of listens. I'd like to especially thank our listeners from, I'm going to say this wrong, Mauritania, Argentina, Pakistan, Belgium, Netherlands, Greece, and Denmark. You guys got us in the top 10. The fucking top 10 in film review shows. It's your fault out there. It's your fault for listening that makes us awesome. We did a lot of, we got in the top 100 in a lot of places, including our home nation of the United States. We are in the top 100. If you're listening to this right now and you're a new listener, please send us your movie request to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Even if the movie isn't in our native language, I always have subtitles on regardless of the spoken language. So it takes little adjustment for me to listen to a foreign film on my side. And to everyone listening, keep sending in your movie requests. There are a lot of movies that have been on our "We'll Get to It Soon" list. And with a single email from you, it can quickly become next on our list. There we go. That's my tangent.
That was great. That was a good tangent. It was concise.
It was. I wrote it. I wrote some of that down, some bullet points. I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to tell you that.
Don't let them know. Don't know what happened behind them.
I'm telling it because I respect them, that it's worth a little bit of homework on my part.
That's great.
To thank them and just... it's just fantastic. We've been doing this podcast for over 3 years, and we have, for all intents and purposes, we have blown up in the last month. And it's because people listen. It's their fault. It's not my fault. We've been doing this for 3 years. It's not our fault we blew up. It's their fault for tuning in and listening.
I think it's important to learn about life and the fabric of reality and the space-time continuum. These are important conversations that need to be had. Okay, I'm done.
All right.
Dez, 1 hour, 29 minutes. Who's happy?
Oh!
Who's happy? Hour 29.
This guy. And it's only that. They only pushed it into the 90-minute feature-length film by doing not really outtakes. Like, what would you...
Oh, yeah. So,
wait, what did we watch today? Have we even
Meet Cute
introduced the movie yet?
No, we haven't introduced the movie yet. And we're just talking. Today, in the present, we will be discussing Meet Cute from the past. And you will listen to it in the future, which is now. Meet Cute, which can only be found on Peacock right now.
Crazy.
Just telling you that there. I now have a month subscription to Peacock because it basically for the price of a rental, I got Peacock for a month. So let's party with that. Starring, I need to start with this. I need to get it off my chest so I can focus and move forward. I have a huge crush on Kaley Cuoco. There, I said it.
All right. Now it's out there. Now you manifested that.
Everybody knows. My wife knows Kaley Cuoco. Starling Kaley Cuoco, Pete Davidson, Kevin Corrigan, coming out in 2022. This is brand new, directed by Alex Lehman, and brought to us by the stellar production company of Redbox.
I know, right? Look at that.
Did you know Redbox was out there making?
I didn't. I can't believe they're out there still. That's...
Wait, remind me what Redbox is?
They used to rent DVDs at like supermarkets.
They do.
It was like a vending machine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love them. The only reason I quit using them is I don't have anything near me. So every time I get a red box, I take it back 2 weeks later and the late fees kill me. But when I had a red box close to my house, I used the hell out of it.
But they don't, the vending machines don't exist anymore.
Oh yeah, they do.
Some places.
Really? Actual DVDs?
Yes, they do. I bought a PlayStation 5 yesterday. And the reason it took me so long to buy a PlayStation 5 is I needed to make sure I got one that took discs and wasn't digital only. Because I'm not ready to give up my DVDs and my Blu-rays.
Yeah, that's great.
Not yet.
I love your analog nature.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Meet cute. Ari.
Yeah.
Tell us about Meet Cute. What's your first thoughts on Meet Cute?
Honestly, just from the title and I think from the main character, what's her name? Kaylee.
Yes.
I thought it was going to be one of those just romantic comedy chick flick, like lighthearted love story. Honestly, that is what I thought. I didn't see any trailer going into this. I just knew the title and that she was in it and I liked her from Big Bang Theory, right? Did not know that what's his face, Creepy McCreeperson, was in it.
Pete Davidson.
Pete Eyebags Davidson.
I just watched him. Have you guys ever watched Murderville?
Yeah.
He's in the holiday special episode of Murderville. He's only in at the very end. Like, it's mostly Jason Bateman and Maya Rudolph, so it's amazing. And then Pete Davidson just comes out of nowhere at the end. Anyways.
At first, I was really confused by the casting choice with him, but then I understand that they needed somebody who was damaged and awkward, and I feel like that's kind of him.
This is the first time I've never had a problem with Pete Davidson, except for every time I see him in something, I'm like, oh, look, it's Pete Davidson in this movie.
Yeah, he's playing himself. I've only ever seen him on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
A handful of times. So I really didn't know what to expect, but I was a little bit shocked by this movie. This movie is really dark. There is a lot of time travel. It's more of on the relationship, you know, side, emotional roller coaster side, but there is a lot of time travel, but just some really, like, you need a serious trigger warning with this movie. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah.
It gets like serious suicide trigger warning.
Yeah.
And murder, I suppose.
Depression.
And depression. And yeah. So, that would have been nice to know beforehand.
Were you guys surprised when you found out she had to get in the machine every day?
Not surprised, no. But, you know, it made me think, like, okay, at what point is she doing that? At what point she ends the date and then immediately goes and gets in the machine? Or does she go to bed, wake up, and then get in the machine?
Yeah, because I thought for sure she got in the time machine, it set this thing in motion, and now she just keeps waking up every day.
She goes in the morning, she keeps going back, yeah, she kills her old self, and then she moves on with her day.
And as always, to our listeners, we are assuming you have seen this movie already.
Yes. This movie, like, this really, I mean, I think I could have said this before about some movies we've seen, but this really solidified to me just how mainstream time travel is. They just jump into this movie like, okay, you guys have seen movies before. You know what time travel is. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. There's no explanation of like how it works. There's no graph. There's no whiteboard where they draw a thing to try to explain you. There's no piece of paper that they like fold in half. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, I time travel. And they're like, well, what did you do with the past, your past self? Oh, I kill her.
We find this out in the first 15 minutes. She's like, I'm a time traveler and a murderer.
This is a very dark romantic comedy.
Yeah, I have a hard time even maybe calling it romantic. It's a little confusing and unhealthy, and it's supposed to be romantic, but it's kind of sad.
Yeah, it's super sad.
Yeah.
Like, even at the end, the way they just bring it together doesn't really make sense per se.
Yeah, well, it does. Like, we knew there was something with the TV repairman.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if it was Pete or her.
No, I knew it would be him. I called it.
Oh, that's right. With the shirt. Once he puts the shirt on, it's like, yeah, that's our guy. So, yeah. So we've kind of already said it, but this movie just, she's been doing this not for too long, though. Like, we start 2 weeks into it. She's only done this like 14 times. She finds this time, or she gets introduced to a time machine at a nail salon by a woman who works there. And She apparently had a really shitty day. We find out later, like, do you think she got, like, broken up with the day before? Like, was it, like, do you think that was, like, the day that her life, or divorced? She didn't get broken up with. She got divorced.
No, the day before? No, years prior.
They didn't really say.
She's just generally in depression. She just had her last.
She's had a bad life, is what she said. She's like, her whole life has been bad.
Okay.
And she just had a bad enough day to where she got so upset that she was going to kill herself by jumping off a bridge. And before she did that, she wanted to get her nails done because she wanted to have nice nails as a dead corpse, and walked into a nail salon.
The film starts off very just sweet and quirky. It just turns into this shortly later.
Yeah, all of a sudden she's like, I lied. Actually, I can only go back 24 hours. I lied. Actually, I can go back as much as I want. I lied. Actually, it was a terrible day. I was going to kill myself.
Yeah, it's interesting being lied to as the viewer. It gives you surprises of things you buy into, right? I called the beginning. I said this was going to happen. It's going to look like a first date, and then we'll find out she's been doing this a bunch of times, like the Palm Springs effect.
Yeah.
I'll let you in along.
Like, this is crazy, though, like, because Palm Springs makes sense because he takes some days off. He does some different stuff. He sleeps with different women. And this one, the fact that she, for 365 days, she goes back 24 hours. She kills herself. She hangs out all day. Like, she doesn't meet up with Pete until the nighttime. So what she's doing between her morning coffee and her sundown bar trip, who knows?
And she keeps repeating the date in the same exact... It's not like she dates him and they try the same restaurant. They do the same exact things. Doesn't even experiment with it being slightly different to see if it's better. And every day gets ruined. So
if she wanted him to act differently, then you need to introduce some different stimulus.
Yeah. So she goes on the date with him, and then it's going really well. And at the end, she tells him she's a time traveler, and it always goes bad, and always brings that up. And of course, someone you just met on the first night tells you they've done this with you a bunch of times. It always goes bad. It will go bad from there.
Yeah.
I was just like, why don't you just not bring that up? And then maybe this would all go better.
Well, because there was those moments where she breezed by and explained what would happen the next day. So she's like, I go back and I do the same date. And he's like, well, why don't you just wait till tomorrow? He's like, well, he's like, she said, she listed off a couple of things. One of the things was like, you die. Your ex calls you and tells you she's pregnant. A bomb goes off. There's an earthquake. There's like all these things. Was she saying that from experience or just like out of anxiety of fear that might happen?
I think out of depression. I think in her mind, she's like, the world can only end in disaster. The fact that we're getting through this date, because her life has been such shit up to that point that she's like, obviously.
Yeah.
That's the way I saw it.
I took it finally at the end, because that part was confusing. I wanted more information around that. I took it as, you know, you get to the point where you're ready to kill yourself. You're not expecting the next day, right?
Right.
She got in this time machine and went back, and she wasn't expecting to wake up the next morning. So she's like, all right, let's just keep going back and going back, going back, going back. Because she didn't have plans. She didn't have, you know, like, oh, the next day I got to go back to work. I got to pay my bills. I got to pay my rent. And so she just never wanted to do that. It was like a...
And yeah, and all she does, she just dumps her shit on him. No matter whether the date lasts 4 hours or 12 hours, she just dumps her shit on him until he's just like, I need a break. I'll see you tomorrow. You're kind of cool, but this is too much. I'm going home.
I think we're supposed to really kind of understand that she's crazy. Like, she's got issues.
Yeah.
Like, well, clearly, yeah. She's
very broken.
She says he saved her life. She was going to kill herself. And so she's dramatically attached to this evening. And if anything's different, then she won't be saved. But she just repeats the same thing. But then she even gets bored with it. But then she decides she wants to try to fix his trauma.
By going back further
in time.
Well, and then she finds out that we find out that her ex-husband was a passive, not take charge kind of guy. Like, and that's why.
I don't remember that.
I don't either.
Because that's what she finally gets mad at him for, is because he doesn't take charge. He's not a man. He never says, like, she kind of almost wants him to be like, no, we're not going to fucking eat Indian food. We're going to go to this steakhouse. And he just is always like, all right, cool, whatever. And then I think it's her ex, because at some point, I think we find out that, or does he say that his girlfriend broke up with him because of his passiveness?
Yeah.
That's what it, okay. I thought her ex was also passive. And so she just kept getting reminded, like, this is what I used to have. And now I just have it again. But anyways, you were saying something. So then, yeah, she decides to go way back. And what does she do?
She puts on a beard and mustache and plays catch with him every weekend for like years.
Yeah. Like pretends to be a man.
Uncle Charlie.
Uncle Charlie, and plays catch with him. And I guess because he didn't have a father, she was like his father figure.
Yeah.
And then when he finds that out, you know, sort of, he was like, I loved Uncle Charlie. How could you do that? You know? And
well, she does that. So, yeah. So she meets him at a sports bar, basically. And he's the only guy who isn't watching sports. And he's just like, I just didn't grow up in that household. So she goes back. And this is, again, after she gets mad because he's so passive. So she kind of like goes back to put some manliness in him. And so she Uncle Charlie's him for, like I said, years. And well, I guess not years. I forget. She can just
use every weekend for years.
Which, but it, but in her,
I know,
with a time machine, she can go back to in one day. She can go play catch with him, you know, for a month's time, and then she sends a prostitute to his house when he's like 16.
Yeah, to give him confidence and take his virginity.
Yeah,
yeah. So I have a question about that. She would still be aging. Right. Because it's the same person going back, living a day, going back. She would still be aging that year or however long that it was. OK, just making.
Yeah, that's right. But he wouldn't be.
But he wouldn't be. Yeah.
So then after she does all this work on his past, she meets him at the bar and he's this successful guy who's asserting himself and being like, no, let's not eat that. Let's go to this place. And then. So because he has confidence, he's like way sooner just like, I don't need this. Like, whatever you're laying on me, all your shit and your time travel stuff, like I really, you know, I got a whole life to live. So never mind. So that backfires on her really quickly. And so then she goes back and chloroforms Uncle Charlie. So does she have to go back every time? Does she got to go back 100 times?
She has to go back every week, chloroform Uncle Charlie. Talk the prostitute out of it to erase. So this is, we're talking about my problem scientifically, right? We're talking about one timeline then.
Yeah.
Because she has to go back. This would suggest like splintering timelines every time she makes a change or goes back. But they're suggesting it's one timeline.
Yeah, they're suggesting one timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And we don't get, like, I get the feeling that she's holding everyone hostage for her necessities.
Oh, yes. This is something I want to bring up with you guys. Right. So this is so are we to understand that she is holding all of time hostage, that she alone with this one thing is controlling, or is that her own timeline? I would believe like in Palm Springs, the rest of the world is going on and doing their thing. She's not controlling all of time from her own little, it's just got to be her own timeline, right?
We never proved that Palm Springs was moving forward either.
They did, because remember the guy doesn't remember him at the end. He knows that he's moved on. When the main character at the end doesn't, with the old
guy
at the party,
with the cross,
we know like, that he's moved on in time. So this one doesn't remember him. Then you know that he is. So that's an example of like his own timeline, but not all of time. In his timeline, he moved forward with time, but not. It's weird to think that she's holding the entire world hostage because she's just going back. That's a strange thought.
But I also don't get the idea that there's 365 timelines where they find her dead in a trunk.
Right. But she is not, this is a great point. She is traveling back in time. She is not turning the clock of time back, right?
This is the, usually I agree with you. Usually I'm like, every time she gets in that machine, it branches up.
She travels in time, but she is not saying, I'm being me and the world is all going back 24 hours.
You're right, because if it was really only one timeline, would she even be there 24 hours earlier?
Right. Wait, yes. Oh, wait, because the one of her... Oh.
Well, okay, here's the thing. She goes back to chloroform Uncle Charlie. So there's two of her there at the same time. So wouldn't there be...
Yeah, yeah. No, you make a good point.
Every day, wouldn't there be more of her?
Well, yeah, yeah. Let's say her number two goes back and kills depressed her number one, right?
Yes.
When her number three goes back, the her number two that killed number one should also be there. So she should now need to kill the person that killed number one, not the one in the depressed sweats, But the one in the car.
Yes.
So that one should still be there if we're going. So
if Uncle and they prove that she should be with Uncle Charlie.
Right.
Because she goes back to that same point twice and there's two of her time traveling selves there.
All right. Well, that's a loophole. Yeah. The time theory is a little bit off. And yeah, when he talks about her holding him hostage or he can't move on, I think it's her timeline. I don't think she's doing it to all of time. But there's a version of him in her time. And this is where this gets very interesting philosophically.
So real quick, before we go to the next point. So there's 365 versions of him that have had this date.
Yeah.
And she vanishes from existence.
Right.
Okay.
And theoretically, well, we're saying it's not, they're saying it just rewinds. They're saying it's not alternate thing. We think it should be, but it's not.
No, Desmond's right. She disappears. Because right. If you think about it, there it's a one timeline, but it's the multiple timelines of the one timeline. Every time she goes back.
Oh, right.
She disappears because.
But you're suggesting that timeline continues without her?
Yeah. Every time the date ends, he continues on. She goes back.
That's what we think. But I'm saying the movie's suggesting that it just rewinds.
Oh.
Yeah.
What you guys are saying makes sense to me logically of how it should be. But I think the movie's just suggesting it rewinds.
Right. Because he has these like memories, these like deja vu feelings. So yes, so then by that token, yes, Scott, she has the whole universe captive.
On that thread, Uncle Charlie shouldn't be there when she goes back 20 years.
Right.
So here's my thing. This is what I'm saying. So she travels back in time. Let's say she travels back alone. I'm just suggesting that's her own travel. Time moves on. She's not staying still and moving all the world back. And if that's the case, there's a version of him that has gone on and does his thing. But it's just the version of him in her timeline that's repeating this, which is a weird, interesting thought.
Oh.
Of like, if Ari time travels and does something with me a day in the past, she's traveling back in her own experience. Me, normal me, I'm moving on in the world. But there's a version of me that she keeps repeating with in her own timeline. It's just an interesting thought we haven't really talked about.
Yeah.
That there's a looping me in her. If you're doing, I'm calling it the Palm Springs effect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our genre. That's our genre title.
Right? Because he time travels his own looping of the day. And then he moves on. The other guy's still looping, but he's moving on. So it's individual. You're moving back in your own time. But that's like your own little mini universe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you are suggesting that this one person that can time travel is making the entire universe repeat, which I guess is more of a Groundhog Day effect. So I'm going to call it like Groundhog Day versus Palm Springs.
Yeah.
If you have your own individual timeline, your own experience of the universe, if you are traveling back in time, are you doing it in all time or your own time?
It has to be all time then.
Yeah.
Because everything has to go back and reset. Exactly. He was wearing the exact same shirt, sat in the exact same seat, just doodling on whatever the heck he was doodling on.
So by her individual going back in time, it's not her going back in time. It's her moving the world back.
It's the whole universe, resetting the whole universe because they wanted him to have that kind of hint of memory.
Yeah.
But they call it time traveling. They call it her going back 24 hours. So she's traveling into that, which suggests that it could still be moving forward, but she could keep changing it.
Again, her only reference point of time travel is movies, basically. So she's calling it time travel, because what else would you call it? But she could be holding the world hostage.
With a tanning salon bed.
With a tanning salon bed.
That has no explanation by any.
How does June always know?
Yeah. Why is June like, I've never met you before, but you've probably used the time travel. She acts like she's seen her hundreds of times.
When she meets Gary, she's just like, oh yeah, you're the Gary that Sheila's gone on a date with 300 times. Like, here, let me show you the time machine.
Well, she did just rant about it right before. But yeah, June should not know her unless once you use the machine, you're impervious to the...
Or she's going back.
Also.
Like, she's doing weird recon.
Do you remember what was the reason June said, like, her boss bought a time machine but doesn't like it because it only goes 24 hours or something?
Yeah.
Which was then a lie or not correct.
I think June owned the time machine.
Yeah.
And she just didn't want Sheila. She's like, fine, you can redo the day. But because later on, so Gary's lying when he says I went to the future, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's definitely a lie.
That was weird. The ending was a very weird, anticlimactic letdown for me.
Before we get to the end, can we talk about her dress?
Oh, the yellow and white checkered tablecloth that belongs on a table at like a company picnic?
Yes. It's not.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to show her a little baddie, maybe semi-cute, but baddie.
It's not terrible,
but it's not good.
If you're going, if you got 360, again, if you want him to act differently, you need to change the stimulus. Start with a different outfit.
But she doesn't. That's the whole thing. She needs to recreate it exactly the same because she's scared.
Okay, I have a question.
I don't have an answer.
She, before she decided to jump off the bridge, she went to go get her nails done. She was wearing sweats.
Right.
Right? When she walked into the salon, got in the time machine, went back 24 hours, which means she went home, right? Because you get out of the machine, get out. She went home, changed, and then went to a bar and ran into Gary.
Right.
Does she have a coffee with her the first time she goes to the salon?
She have a coffee with June?
With, no, because she goes to a coffee machine and then immediately gets struck by the car. Is she a block away? Is she about ready to walk into the salon and get her nails done before? Like, is she getting killed right before she goes to the time machine?
I don't know, because every time she got hit by a car, it was daytime. But I remember her walking into the nail salon when it was nighttime.
Oh, really?
I don't, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little confusing. There are some holes.
There's a bunch of holes.
This is one of those movies that made me happy just because every time I wrote down a question, they answered it. Like, as soon as I wrote down, does she go to the salon every day? And we find out, does she kill herself every day? And then we see it. I'm like, all right, you go. Go, movie.
I just think time traveling rom-com, it's a new subgenre and it's here. There's a lot out there.
It's not new. This is the...
So, again, it starts off cute. She kind of ruins the day by telling me she's a time traveler. Then you see she's obsessive. She keeps lying to us as a viewer and lying to him, forcing him to kind of redo this and getting angry at him. And again, I'm finding it frustrating of like, of just, if you want the date to go perfect, why do you ruin it by telling him that it always goes bad? And then if we can fast forward to the end, she gives up finally. She's about to jump off the bridge. He randomly, he's only known her one day. I mean, now she's explained it and he's got some instinct of that there's more. He's totally frustrated with her. She gives up and all of a sudden he decides that at that point, now he loves her and now he's got to work on this semi-crazy person that he's got an instinct about. But they talk about how it's unhealthy and it always fails.
We kind of jumped over it. So I want to make sure we mention that Gary goes back in time.
Yes.
He goes all the way back because he wants to fix her now because now she's, he realizes she's broken. So he's going to go talk to her or maybe not, or just tell her like, hey, like he didn't think he was going back to a 3-year-old. He thought he was going back because June is the one that says, I know where you need to go. So again, June knows some shit that we don't get into.
Which she shouldn't know about her. Yeah.
So he goes back to 1999. Her mom, he realizes her mom's crazy 1980s mom. And so the whole, on every date, she talks about this TV repairman that really stuck in her mind. And it's really weird, but she really remembers that memory. He comes in, mom's yelling from the bathroom. And they say something just before that about her. She's like, you're trying, or I don't know who says it, but you're trying to put a fucking square peg in a round hole. And so we see this 3-year-old girl with a toy and she's cramming a round peg into a square hole, which she does. Which she bangs on it enough and he looks at it, he goes, well, you did it. Like, I can't tell you, you can't do that.
How much symbolism? Look at this symbolism.
But he says to her, she's really sad and she's really upset at her toy. And he says to her, it's okay for things to get messy sometimes, which is what she tells him to calm him down. So now he's like, okay, she's broken. I'm broken. Maybe we can go forward broken.
And that's when he decides to find her and she's at the bridge where she wants to jump.
Right. And eventually he says he sees the future. He's been in the future.
And he doesn't leave. And because on every date before this, he's like, fuck you, I'm going home. And she says, fuck you, go home. And he says, no.
Right. All of a sudden. So he says he's seen the future. And this is where like we're confused of like, did he do it and the film's not showing it to us? Or is he just saying that to save her? Or is it some cute thing that like now he knows that she's his future? And then finally he's like, and I'll prove it to you that the future is beautiful. And then he just walks away. And that was his test that by saying that she would follow him. I don't, that whole part.
That was very weird.
It's so weird. It's not some beautiful thing that ties the movie up. It's
love is about trust, you guys.
That you walk away.
You got to go into the black hole.
So you just walk away?
Yeah, I.
And you lie about something, or you're trying to speak metaphorically and walk away? I don't get.
Yeah, I didn't like the ending either. I took it as they're so connected.
Codependent.
They're sure. I mean, codependent, but like they're so connected. They're meant to be together. He saved her at the bar and didn't know it, and now he's saving her again, and she's just kind of obsessed with him, that she just followed him like
from one night.
Yeah, it was just from her not jumping off the bridge. Like, she was so ready to jump off the bridge, but then he was just like, I've got the answer, follow me. And she just followed him because she's that messed up. She's that obsessed with him.
Well, if he believes that she has done this 365 times, then he can believe that she loves him.
Yeah.
It was it didn't feel romantic at part. It got really dark.
What would you guys think they should have walked off together? Like, he should have just convinced her. They should have held hands and gone for a walk.
Yeah, they have one of those movie speeches. He's here for it. He says something that turns her head. They walk off together. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't like that he just walked away.
He left. I'm just going to jump.
He left me again.
How is that proof?
Yeah.
It's not proof. Yeah.
So he should have just like taken her hand and be like, here, I'm going to show you. And then they just walk off.
Yeah, let's watch the day together. Let's try something different and see the day together.
Yeah.
You haven't done that.
It just proves that she's that crazy and obsessed with him. And I think they were just trying to be sweet that they had this strong connection that no matter what, they're going to be together. And
but they also show that it gets ruined every time. Throws a lot on him from one night, and it seems kind of ugly and sad.
Yeah, but now they're not going to travel anymore. Now they're continuing forward.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's trying to pull romance out of like codependence, I feel like.
Because now he has the memory. Now they both have the same memory of the TV repairman. Because before that, he didn't have that memory. So now they have that official connection because this Gary has gone back to 1999.
Which paradox is that, by the way? Is that like a loop paradox, or is that a grandfather paradox?
Bootstrap.
That's bootstrap.
Yeah.
So the fact that like she helps him in the present by saying this saying that only happened because they had gone through this. Now this throws off a lot of the film because there's a lot of different realities. And only in this one new updated version did he go back in time and become a repairman. So they're saying that's always happened that way. Because even in an earlier version, she said that to him.
Yeah, the very first
version. So it's suggesting that all of these are supposed to happen or have always happened, or...
Yeah, it's always... if what's happened has happened has always happened the way it's happened, then she's always spent a year reliving this day.
Right.
Making him... giving him the stimulus he needs.
She's always done the 365.
Because if he goes to the time machine any other time, he doesn't go to that date.
When she first met him and that like, I've done this a week, 7 days, she already knew that expression before the 365th time where she told him and he did it.
Right.
So it's a little bit, that's a different timeline we're saying. That we're saying it's one timeline and she's gone back and changed it. So it suggests it's loopy. It's a little loophole.
Well, and that's where we go back to this. There's only one timeline. She's holding time hostage. And it was always this.
But it did do that in the other versions. And she still had, that still happened in the other versions. Before she,
but if there's only one her,
right,
then there's only one 3-year-old version of her
in the timeline. She has done this 365 days and changed the timeline in the one timeline.
Right.
Jesus. I mean, it's a lot to chew on.
This podcast, this movie did my favorite thing ever. And it tied two of my podcasts together. In a very recent All the Answers episode, Katie was talking about how our trauma makes us.
Yeah.
How you can't erase your trauma. Your trauma is who you are, and you can be happier, healthier version of your trauma, but that's who you are. And at one point, June tells Sheila her story, and it's a very sad story. And Sheila says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to fix it. And June says, fuck you. Don't change my trauma. My trauma is why I'm the quirky, awesome woman that I am. And I don't want you to change anything. Erase the pain, erase the person. So All the Answers and Time Pop coming together, baby.
Let's do it. Let's have a party. It reminds me of Butterfly Effect in that sense, right? Of kind of like time traveling through trauma and how the trauma defines you at these certain points.
Well, there's a lot of time travel movies like that, you know, because love being the reason why you want to go back and save somebody or help somebody or make it easier for them. It's a great, you know, catalyst for a time travel story.
And especially becomes the main reason to finally move forward.
Yeah.
Like, because you love this person and you want to experience the whole life with them and not just this one day over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you, I get my nails done semi-regularly, so that's, I'm not immune to that.
You do? For real?
I do.
Oh.
I do. Not always, but I let Kelly ask me to go occasionally. I usually go 2 or 3 times a year. I would pay mani-pedi money just to sit in the chairs they have there. They have awesome massage chairs at a good nail place. And here's a time machine. Let's assume it only goes back 24 hours. Let's just stick to that idea at the beginning of this film.
Would you do it?
Yeah.
I would have trouble with killing my past self, though.
Why do you have to?
Because then there's two of you forever.
But you go back. Don't you just go back to the, or they both move on?
How does she get back to the present?
They didn't cover it. Ari said that it looks like after 24 hours, she just comes back.
One of the times she said after 24 hours, you just reappear back here. But then that's what she said really quickly.
But then
that was in the sequence of like, just kidding. Now you can go back as far as you want. Just kidding. Now, you know.
Yeah. How does Uncle Charlie get back to the present?
Totally. Not explained, because the 24 hours, she just goes back and then she lives through it. She doesn't travel back.
And she has to get in the machine every 24 hours.
After a day, if she goes back further, she just comes back randomly. Because she didn't live all those years since he was a kid.
Yeah, did she go back and strangle 3-year-old her?
The problem of these, of the rom-com time travel films, is you really gotta, they're not thinking about the science, and you have to, there's a lot to think about with these repercussions and paradoxes. You need the science brain. You need the interstellar brain. There it is. Thank you, Interstellar.
Thank you for listening to Time Pop. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. And please, if you have a chance, write a review. Please like, review us, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. We are Time Pop Pod, time_pop_pod. And keep sending us great movie recommendations to timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. You can also send any questions or comments from this or any past episode to the same address. I know we got some new listeners out there checking out some old episodes. Poke some holes in our arguments, please. And send those holes to timepoppod@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Time Pop? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have Comedy and Spirituality, All the Answers, The Wheel of Time, Thank the Light, Fitness and Nutrition, we have Truth Not Trends, and That Fitness Couple, and Awesome Women on the Be Brave podcast. You can find those at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
Ari Galaz in the bathroom. And I'm Scott Lifton.
Bye! All right, all our new listeners out there, this is how you get your movie on our show. Cassandra from the UK writes, which I would just like to point out, the UK is another country that we have hit the top charts. We are in the top 30 in film reviews in the UK. Thank you. You're welcome. This is from Cassandra. Hello, Des, Ari, and Scott. I am a new listener and I have been enjoying your back catalog tremendously. I'm a big fan of time travel movies and can only talk about them so much with friends before their eyes glaze over with boredom. We understand, Cassandra. The other day, I decided to listen to your Arrival episode. So imagine my surprise when I did not find it on your list. Arrival is not the best, in quotes, time travel movie, but a time travel movie nonetheless. After listening to your time travel genre discussion, I am very interested to see how you categorize this one in particular. I hope you can make room for this film on your schedule, and I look forward to listening in the future. Cheers, Cassandra. It's that easy, folks. You write, we read, and then we watch, and then we talk about it. That's how it's done. Arrival, Ari, how excited are you about this?
Can you see me right now, Desmond? Wait, I'm asking for real. Can you see me right now?
I can.
Thanks.
Well, this will be interesting. You know, there's some difference of feelings. For some reason, this is like Ari's most hated film. I remember liking it, but I don't remember a lot of the nuance.
Okay, we can do this movie. It's going to be the shortest Time Pop episode we've ever done.
Well,
it is short. Now, did you not like this, Ari, because you're like, cool, time travel movie, and then it totally wasn't? Or did you not like it from credits to credits for other reasons?
The time travel.
It's just not time travel-y enough?
It's like barely time travel. I don't remember all the details. It was a while ago that I saw this. I just remember really, really, really not liking this movie.
So this is why we haven't done it, Cassandra. This is why this isn't on our list. We have talked about it several times, and we've had discussions on whether it is or isn't time travel. It is, but as Ari says, it's not. This is not a time travel movie. This is a movie with time travel in it.
Yeah, we've done looser than that.
Because I remember watching it and then someone saying Arrival's a time travel movie and me going, what? And then I watched it again. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I remember there were a lot of really cool aspects about the movie, but the time travel was like infuriating.
Yes.
Some passionate feelings. Passion.
Arrival from 2016. 1 hour and 56 minutes. I will get some extra popcorn for this one. Rated PG-13. Oh, directed by Denis Villeneuve. Awesome. I don't think I realized this was directed by someone whose name I knew. Starring Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Forrest Whitaker, and a bunch of other wonderful people that we will get to later. I'm excited to watch this. This has been a movie that I need an excuse to watch this movie. Because you know me, if I was like, oh, I'll watch Arrival. And the time travel happens after the 90-minute mark, so I'm really tuned out.
Totally.
Once I hit the 91st minute on any movie, I'm kind of off. Well, thank you, Cassandra, for giving us a reason to watch this. Meet cute. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of your evening. We're here to ruin your time travel movie.
You know, to ruin your brain.
And give you a headache.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Most of this is going to get edited out because we're terrible, terrible people.